QSC, QSC, QSC. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q Net Control for the Tech Tuesday Net at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz offset of 600 kilohertz and a PL of 131.8. This net is connected every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. For more information on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club, go to bbarc.org. That's bbarc.org. Or visit the Facebook page at K6BB Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. That's K6BB Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information for amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communication. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KSXQ. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for that? Please call KF6Q. All right, a couple of announcements here. One is a courtesy announcement for the Big Bear ECS division, looking for support, actually with their members. They will be doing a radio communications backup for Snowshoe the Bear, which may turn into a jogging event. Anyway, we'll see what happens there. The topic for the evening, we're going to discuss the FunCube satellite. Clint's going to give us some information there. I hope he's out there. And that'll be pretty cool. Another announcement to WB6CLZ Mike is going to be traveling the world. He has recently sold his business and definitely retired, so we will not be hearing him here probably for some time as he explores all the areas out there that he's been not able to do over the last, I don't know, how many years. But good luck, Mike, and thanks for all the help here on Tech Tuesday for all these years. All right, but we will go ahead with our roster, and I will start off with KA6CIA George. I don't hear George out there. No, he's back in town, so lots of routes up there. All righty. Let's see if we have KJ6ACS Mike. Not hearing Mike out there. How about WA6IATC Rod? Rod out there. How about KJ6FIL, Mike?
Accounted for KJ6FIL.
Hey, Mike, glad to have you out there. Thanks for the radio check, too. All right, let's move down to KJ6KDL Tim and KJ6KDK Rosemary.
Oh, this is KJ6KDK, and I'm afraid Jim is still working.
Ah, what a diligent guy he is. All right, well, good to hear you out there, Rosemary, and we'll check Jim in here anyway, so. All right, let's move on down here to, let's see, nope, nobody's out there. We'll see if Ray's out there, WB6PBZ. Not hearing Ray out there. How about KI6IQA Kelly?
Good evening, KI6IQA.
All right, Kelly, and thanks for being out there from Eastern Big Bear. How about K9AOG Stephen from Long Beach? Not hearing Stephen out there. How about K6GBL Ron Green Valley? How about AD6PL Harold?
AD6PL.
And good evening there, Harold. Glad to have you out there. Oh, that's right, I forgot. We're competing with the state or Miss State of the Union address. Okay. Anyway, let's proceed here. How about K6LCF Quint? Are you out there from Mira Loma? Oh, well, hope he's out there. Anyway, soon. How about KJ6PYV Dave? Yeah, we're competing with the TV tonight. That's okay. Alrighty, how about K6YNW Chris? Right, not hearing Chris out there. How about W6TOO Chip?
Evening, Tom, and the net. This is W6POO Palm Springs. No traffic.
And good evening there, Chip. Good. I know you're out there most of the time, and we're going to kind of do our Tech Tuesdays are going to take on a little bit of different format here. So glad to have you with us. All right. How about KD6LAN Bill?
You're a lot more interesting than the fate of the Union address. KD6LAN.
I heard there was a possible rumor of that, but I didn't want to press the point. Hello, Bill. How you doing? Glad to have you out there. How about, let's see if we have KJ6QYN Shelley. Yeah, I don't hear him out there. How about WA6HF Ron? All right, let's move on to the second page. AE6CK Victor. Alrighty, I know he's watching TV. How about KA6ROD Rod? Nothing out there? W6JET Rob. How about KJ6RAY Ray?
Good evening, Tom and the net. KJ6RAY Mobile listening.
All right, Ray, I know you're not watching the State of the Union because you're mobile, unless you have a TV in your car there. Okay, glad to have you out there. Thanks for being with us tonight. All right, let me move over here. I got another list of some new ads. Not sure they're out there this evening, but we'll give them a call. KK6FJE Zach.
Yeah, I'm out here. Honestly, this is KK6FJE. Honestly, I don't own a TV. All I have is my computer.
Well, that's okay, Zach. Maybe that's a good thing, as I've been told. Thanks for being out there. Appreciate that. How about KK6HUB, Bob?
Yep, good evening to everybody. KK6HUB.
And good evening there, Bob, and I want to let you know that KJ6BCL is troubleshooting that to see what's up with the picture you shared. But I think it has, one thing that it has to do with the BB Area C site is a group site, and not an individual. I don't know, but we're trying to work on that. Thanks for all your postings and all your likes on the page. Next we have KK6CXF. Tom, are you out there? Not hearing Tom out there. How about W2PFA Art? Not hearing Art. How about N7WNO Mike?
7WNO.
All right, Mike. Glad to have you out there this evening. Thanks for listening in. Appreciate that. Let's see. Next, I have K7JMF John. All right, not hearing him out there. I have a K6LON, Elise. Hearing Elise, how about W6OXA Omar? I'll get it out there. All right, well, that's the list as I have. And like I say, we're going to probably miss a few people this evening with the TV, with the once a year event out there from the president. Anybody else out there would like to check in as a guest or be added to the list, either one. please come back, KO6U.
Kilo 7, Sierra Charlie Echo.
6, TLC. I have Kilo 7, Sierra Charlie Echo first. And what's the name?
Yeah, my name is Scott, Sierra Charlie Oscar Tango Tango out here in Bellflower.
All right, Scott, well, glad to have you out there. And I had somebody else after that. I think it might have been John TLT. Go ahead.
Yes, KE6 TLT, vocaling through Santa Ana.
John, glad to have you out there. And yeah, I know you have a reverse schedule of all of us. You work nights, so glad you could listen up. Anybody else?
California.
Hey, a lot of noise there, but I kind of got some audio at the end. You want to try one more time?
KI6, Zebra King Papa. The name is Butch in Corona, California.
I got KI6, Zebra. Missed the last part of your call. And please, one more time. But your audio is pretty clear now.
KI6, Zebra, King, Papa, Butch, in Riverside.
Hey, Butch, I believe. I got you in here. And, yeah, like I said, your call sign a little bit obliterated by the noise. That's okay. We got you in here, and thanks for listening up. Anybody else?
Charlie, Quebec, Lima, mobile.
Got Kila Alpha 9, Quebec, and sorry, I don't write fast enough. I know you're slowing down for me. Go ahead. Kilo Alpha 9, Quebec, and the rest.
It's Charlie, Quebec, Lima, CQL. Name is Mike, mobile in Norco.
KA9, Charlie, Quebec, Lima, Mike, and Norco, glad to have you out there, and thanks for checking in with us this evening. Anybody else?
KT6, HK, Jim, down here in the South Bay.
All right, Jim, I've talked to you before, glad to have you out there. It's got you in there, Bob, buddy, yeah. Thanks for being out there. Anybody else?
KA6, CYS.
Andrew from Los Angeles.
KIS, W6 CYS, John, and kind of buried the guy. There was a guy out there from Los Angeles. Please come back one more time.
KE6, PLA, Andrew from Los Angeles.
I got KE6 ELA, I hope that's right. Los Angeles, thanks for being out there. Anybody else? All right, anyway, good list tonight, and we'll try to get these names straightened out. I got most of these call signs. Hopefully they're close to being right. Sorry about that. Anyway, one more call out there. Let's see if Clint's out there. K6LCS, are you out there yet this evening? I'm hearing Quinn out there. He might be tied up with the TV. John, you want to talk a little bit about APRS this evening?
You'd never ask. How's my coffee?
Oh, your coffee is fine. A little cream and sugar. Oh, the coffee. Yeah, okay, bad joke. All right, you're sounding very clear and solid. Go ahead. Let's go with a little APRS stuff this evening, and we'll get into more of this as we move into some of the other nights. But anyway, John, what does APRS even stand for?
Packet Reporting System. And it's a system that's used to, well, it can be used for a lot of things. It can be used for position reporting. It can be used for messaging. It has a lot of different uses. The main one we know it as is for position reporting. Let me explain that.
Okay, automatic packet reporting. I keep saying position reporting, but it's packet reporting system. And so anyway, this is like sending out little packets and little bursts. Yeah, we'll, I want you to go kind of in more detail in just a minute. Anybody else out there, if you, what is the frequency that, from what I understand, this is only on one frequency typically that's dedicated to that. What is that frequency on the 2 meter band?
America and the 2 meter band, it is 144.390. And if you actually want to hear packets, tune your radio to that frequency, 144.390, and listen for a little bit, and you'll hear packets. They're quite distinctive. Back to you, W6CYS.
Okay, let's start over here. Not sure if I was transmitting. Talking about the APRS and the website, John, please, back to you.
Tom, am I there?
Yeah, you are, and I think I was doubling or something. I might have been talking to myself here. Yes, go ahead. And what I was doing was talking about, or I'd like you to explain the APRS-FI and what it all does.
Yeah, the repeater went away completely for a minute, at least on my little Baofeng. Okay, want to talk about APRS-FI. That is a website, www.aprs.fi, and it is actually located in Helsinki, Finland. So the first time you go there, it will probably start you in Helsinki, Finland, which is a long way from here. The easy way to get to back to the local area is if you know the call sign of someone who is local here, and you just enter the call sign and tracking and hit enter, it will bring you right to this area. Let me take a break from this. W6CYS, back to you.
Yeah, I think the repeater did go away. That's not sure what would happen there. But anyway, well, very cool. And there actually are other sites that will also be doing this. And that's pretty neat. So we have this weather, we have the site, and I think there's like weather, you get, some of these sites are set up with, actually not the website, but some of the APRS stations are set up not for positions, they actually have like weather stations, all kinds of different stuff. So basically, why don't you tell everybody about what you did last Saturday with the landoffs group out there, and how that all worked out.
For those of you who don't know, Landops went out last Saturday and had a night operation in the desert north of Old Woman Springs Highway in Johnson Valley, where teams of off-road vehicles went out to seek caches guided by GPS coordinates, and various exercises went on. And each of the units had with them an APRS sending unit. And we were able to keep track of and give position awareness to the leaders of the activity because they could see on a map on our computer screen where all of their teams were. So it was pretty effective. Had a few little dead spots out there, which I know now how to fix. But unfortunately, we won't be going out there again because the Marines are taking that area over again. But we'll be going somewhere. Back to you, Tom, W6CYS.
Well, pretty neat. And like I said, if you have a computer handy and you do you know, go to that website. Another website also is for all kinds of information, aprs.net. And they have all kinds of cool stuff, how to set stuff up. Pretty neat. I think one of the greatest things here, and there are radios that have the function built into them, with the also the digital capability with voice and hooked into a GPS. Pretty handy if you have somebody out there you want to keep track of, not to actually just spy on where they're at, but to make sure they make that trip without issue. I think this would be a good example if somebody was actually leaving Big Bear and headed for Redlands with good APRS tracking. You can pretty much see where they are, and if they didn't make it down to Redlands or whatever, you'd know exactly where they stopped. Basically, you could see, well, wait a minute, I got this far, and that's as far as they went. So it's very, very handy, very cool, very good if you have a whole group out there and you want to keep track of everybody, because actually each packet, John, they must be, they have different IDs, so we can keep track of everyone separate, right?
Into the transmitting software, you put your call sign, and that becomes your ID. And that's how we track you, by your call sign. So all of the units out there that you see, a lot of the weather stations don't have call signs. They're just a weather station, but they don't go in through ham radio. They go in through the internet. So those have a different number, a different ID number. But you're right. Everybody uses their call sign, and that's how you keep track of them. And you'll see, for instance, if you have more than one unit, like I have a iGate here at my house that is W6CYS-3, but if you see just W6CYS, that's me being mobile somewhere, or at least having my mobile APRS tracker on. Back to you, Tom.
KSSQ, Tech Tuesday, and the group every Tuesday that we can. Well, very cool. And I was talking to somebody earlier today about APRS, and I said, well, you know, this is pretty neat. You know, you put this in the vehicle and find out, you know, who is what. And, of course, it only is going to show where the radio is, not the person, actually the individual, but very good for that. Well, very cool. Like I say, also on APRS.net, it tells, and actually I have a page up right now, setting up an APRS Internet Gateway, which is what we call iGate. John, you have one of those at your house. I think there's another station here in Sugarloaf, K6RBK. I think he's running an iGate. iGate, is that like Watergate, except with an I? What is an iGate?
It's a gateway to the internet, hence iGate. And it's really simple. Can be really simple to set up. You don't even need a real TNC. They have a program called Direwolf, D-I-R-E-W-O-L-F, and that's an acronym, not an animal in distress. That is a virtual TNC. So it resides in your computer and uses your computer sound card as a TNC. So basically, what I did was I took an old HTX-202, which is a 2-meter receiver, put it to the correct frequency, 144.390, and plugged this. I ran the speaker cable from the speaker of the radio to the input of the computer. Direwolf began uncoding, decoding packets, and then I have a program called APRS-IS-CE-32, which takes that decoded information from Direwolf and puts it into a map. So you can see what's going on, and that's your map, and you can actually see it. I put this whole thing together with equipment that I already had. And it cost me nothing. A good antenna really helps. You need a good antenna, preferably a mobile unit, some kind of an antenna, exterior antenna, because the packet units need to be pretty strong. But from my location here in Big Bear City, I get a digipeter, and we'll talk about digipeters in a minute, on Keller and around the middle of the desert in Rodman. So I get reports from as far away directly to the digipeters, from as far away as Las Vegas and all over the L.A. basin. Back to you, Tom. 36 U.S.
That's pretty awesome. And I think a lot of that is just with about a 5-watt transmitting power. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's hard to say what the people out there are using out in the field. Probably a lot of them are using, if they have a mobile unit, they may be using medium power, low power, but with a pretty good antenna. But keep in mind, they're only going up to Keller Peak, so it's a pretty straight shot. I mean, people get into the Big Bear machine with 5 watts all the time, so it's not really a big deal getting into the machine. So, yeah, let me know when you're ready to talk about more about iGates and digipeters.
Okay, and if you do go to APRS.net, they also list it as automatic position reporting system or packets. So I guess we can kind of make up our own stuff there, but packets probably more realistic. Anyway, well, yeah, iGates. Okay, so essentially you're going to patch in information from the radio and you're going to patch that into the internet. And yeah, I'm not confused here, John, but why are we doing that, and what is actually the intent here?
Last word. What is being? And I missed the last word.
And what is the intent? Basically, you've got a radio that's listening majority of the time, if not all the time, correct? And that's taking all these packets, and it has to put it on the internet through your computer. Now, this is what we're talking about, doing that as an IV. I think I have that straight. Let's clarify this for all the listeners out there.
Correct. You do need to have a full-time cable modem sort of internet connection. But that program, the second program I talked about, the APRSISCE32, that puts it up on a map on your screen, also ships it off to the internet to a series of servers around the world. And you can basically go, you can find people who have APRS trackers anywhere in the world. It's amazing. They're all out there. And so it's a huge system, and all put together on a volunteer basis, all free, all by hands. By the way, all that software that I talked about, it's all free. It's all free. It cost me nothing to set up my iGate. You're exactly right in how it works, and that's where it goes. And the intent is that we do it because we're hams and we can. And it's interesting to be able to find out where people are. Very few people actually use the messaging system, but it includes the messaging system where you can message people. Back to you, W6QAS.
Yeah, we have a question out there. Go ahead.
Hi, W6TOO. The question is, on this Kenwood mobile rig that I'm using right now, it's probably about 2 years old at the most. Is it on this particular frequency right now? If somebody were at APRS.net or .fi, just on this frequency, is there anything being transmitted out of this rig right now that would enable either of those frequencies to know where this transceiver is at?
John, can I go ahead and take this? I'll take that as a yes. Anyway, yeah, Chip, basically, if you're on that frequency and you're listening, perfectly fine, you'll hear data bursts from time to time. And if you transmit, though, like I'm doing right now, just keying the mic up, you'll be transmitting an FM signal like we are right now. So that probably wouldn't do anything. Now, what's on that frequency, and these are actually, a lot of radios cannot do both at the same time. Some can't even do the digital part. You have to have a radio that's got like a digital side. And what it will do is take information, in this case, from a GPS that also should have, if you're going to be tracked, with that GPS information tied into your radio, or there must be some other glue in there, and John's going to explain that here in just a second. And basically that digital signal is sent over that frequency, and then if that is sent out in proper manner with the proper GPS showing you where you are, then people will say, hey, there's Chip. And now that's pretty much just in a nutshell there, Chip, but let me hand it over to John. And John, why don't you explain the glue to get that working, if that's what we had.
Am I getting in okay?
Yes, you are.
Okay. Jeff, the first thing we need to know is, what Kenwood are you using in your mobile unit?
It's a TM. I believe it's 281. Let me get my glasses on. I'll tell you exactly in a second. Yeah, I had that correct. It's a Tango Mary / 281.
I don't know if that particular unit has built-in TNC, built-in APRS capability, I do know that Kenwood is very active in that area, and there are 700 and 710 units have APRS built in. The handheld D72 has a lot of APRS stuff built in, but whichever you have, you would have to program it using the manual. You would have to program it to send these packets, so it's not going to automatically send packets identifying where you are unless you tell it to. Does that cover that?
Okay, understood. I just reached over and grabbed the manual, and it is a Tango Mary -281A as an alpha. And I'll just, while you guys are talking more, I'll see if there is anything in here for APRS to, find the menu that would turn it on.
Thanks, and check that out. I'm gonna get back to us and let us know. And Tom, what was your question?
Okay, now we're gonna get into Tiny Tracker, which is a product that we have no association with, but basically, there's a lot of people using that, pretty cool. And I heard that mentioned out there, John, Tiny Tracker. You can probably go do a Google search on that if you're looking for that. What does the Tiny Tracker do? What part does that do?
Tracker is the heart of your GPS tracking, your GPS sending system. Basically, it's a very small gadget, probably 3 inches or less long, inch and a half, 2 inches wide, maybe a 3/4 inch thick, into which you plug, one end you plug a GPS, the other end you plug your radio. So the GPS tells it where it is, and then the Tiny Tracker, every 2 minutes or whatever time frame you send out, whatever time you specify, sends out a packet which has your position, and that packet goes out to iGates and digipeters and is repeated or is put on the internet that way. And that's one thing that you need to know about APRS. It is strictly, basically, a one-way system. So your unit, your tracker, sends out a signal, and you have no idea if it was actually received by anybody until obviously you look at it on a computer somewhere. But it is pretty effective, and I usually find I get 3/4 to 1/2 of my packets are actually received, and that's only with 5 watts and a little antenna sitting on my hood. So does that help, Tom? 36 CYS.
Okay, very good. So that's actually the glue between the GPS and the radio. And very good there clarifying that with APRS, it's a one-way street. Only you're transmitting packets, and not continuous, like you said. It's not a continuous thing. They're set up at intervals, and depending on your settings or the equipment you're using there, I know that it could be set up to transmit only if the GPS coordinates change. So if you're standing still, it stops transmitting over and over and over again. If you start to move, or if you make a turn, or if you're traveled, you can set up all kinds of different parameters of what will cause it to transmit, or it can transmit on, say, 1 minute intervals. You have to keep in mind, everybody out there is listening, this is a shared frequency, the 144.390. So everybody's on there. So you really don't want it transmitting like every 10 seconds. you're kind of hogging the bandwidth there. So essentially, whatever would be say 1 minute or 5 minutes possibly. John, that varies, and I'm not sure what the best parameter there is, but I guess there's a lot of information out there to see what would be the best for what you're doing. Any more on that, John, go ahead. This is KF6Q, Tech Tuesday, and the group.
Common and 7WNO.
And 7WNO, go ahead.
The same company that makes Tiny Tracker makes what they call the ready-to-go or RTG version. That has the radio already in the same cabinet as the Tiny Tracker, and all you need to do is plug in an antenna and a GPS antenna that they sell for pretty reasonable money, and you can be online with that. I have one in my motorcycle, and it tracks it. And they also make one that is a handheld version that will that you can use like backpacking and stuff like that. So it just gets a battery pack for it, and they are very nice units. I like them as well. And I'll leave it at that. N7W0.
Well, Mike, thanks for that information, because actually that's what you're saying there is that we don't actually need the extra radio. It unties our basic radio from that. And I do know this, that also, and you got to look around on the internet, there are what we call breakout modules on the electronic do-it-yourselfer area. And you can actually get GPS breakouts that are actually, you hook up power, the line comes out of this little thing. It's only about, I'm going to say, an inch square, and it could be even smaller than that. A small antenna on it, and this thing, I believe, was ballpark around $20, $30. So with that tied into that type of tiny tracker ready to go, you're set. You don't even need to have a separate GPS unit or whatever. So this could actually be a very cool little packet. It could be put in something to track something. Hey, when we have our little quadcopters, at least we'll know where they flew off to, right? Anyway, Mike, thanks for that information. I'm going to hand it back over to John. Go ahead, John.
A bit more about the Tiny Tracker. The current models are Tiny Tracker 3 and Tiny Tracker 4. I have a Tiny Tracker 3, and the company is Bionics, B-Y-O-N-I-C-S. And they're not expensive. The Tiny Tracker 3, I think, cost me $65. I used the GPS I already had. Got a cable to connect the two. The Tiny Tracker comes with the appropriate, or you buy it with the appropriate cable for the radio that you're using. I use an old ICOM 02AT, if any of you old-timers remember that thing. In fact, it was the original radio that my dad gave me back when I first became a ham, of all things. Still works. Works fine. I've been tracked all over Southern California with it. So this does not have to be an expensive thing. It's interesting. It's fun to play with. And let me know when we're going to get to DigiPeters. We've got to talk DigiPeters before we go away here. W6CYS.
Okay, John, yeah, I pulled up the Bionic site with the Tiny Track, looking at their GPS unit right there. Very cool. Ready to go. That's even better yet. I like this. With the little serial plug and whatever, DB9 plug. Very cool. And like I said, this stuff is not going to break the bank. Gets you pretty well set up. And very cool if you had to, say, like Mike was saying, if you're backpacking or you have people out there, get one of these set up individually. It could be in your group, so especially if they get separated. And by golly, you'll find them. It's better than, it's like a personal low check. Anyway, well, okay, anybody else has any questions, which we'll pause just for a minute. Any more questions about what we talked about?
6 TLT.
Okay, TLT, John, go ahead.
After the APRS and the amateur, are we still capable of monitoring Rose Bowl floats? Are they still using the system?
Well, that I do not know. I think that's privileged. No, I'm kidding. I really don't know, John, but I guess they could if they wanted. One more time, back to you, John.
A number of years ago, I recall having opportunities to monitor APRS and the Rose Parade. I didn't know if they were still using it. KE6PLT. Have it, guys.
Put in a tactical name for whatever you're doing, so it could be the float number one, float number two, or whatever they want to call it. So yeah, so it definitely could be very possible, and that would be a good use of APRS. Let me talk one more second about the frequency of the packets you send out from your unit. It is considered bad form to send out a packet more often than every 2 minutes, because one of the problems we have is especially in the LA area, there's so many people transmitting so many packets that pretty soon you get huge amounts of QRM in packets. It's huge. And so when we talk about digipeters, which I hope you're going to let me someday, we're going to I'll talk more about that. But every 2 minutes or greater, W6CYS.
Right. Well, we were pending questions, John, and by golly, I know you're just chomping at the bit. We better get in there. And by the way, sorry, the other John out there, TLT and CYS, I handed it back to John. I should have been more specific because we had you both in there for a while. Anyway, well, CYS, let's talk about digipeters. What is a digipeter?
Do that. I just want to make sure I wasn't. I got out that if you set up your APRS any more often than every 2 minutes is bad form. So anyway, I hope everybody got that. Back to you, Tom, and then I'll talk to Digit Peters.
Oh, we did get that part. Very good. Yeah, let's. And great information there. Go ahead on the Digit Peters.
Digit Peters are simply a repeater for digital data. And they many of them sit on top of mountains like Keller Peak and Rodman and various places like that. Perhaps one day we'll actually have a digipeter on top of our up there co-located with the Big Bear machine. But hint hint. But in the meantime, the problem with digipeters is they just blindly repeat everything they hear. And the problem with that is as they continue to repeat and repeat and repeat, pretty soon you've got somebody broadcasting in L.A. going to all over the country and creating packets that are, there's so many of them, it would be total QRM and you would not be able to, the system would break down. So what they did was they said, okay, we're going to devise a system, a paradigm, where we will, each packet will, you're only allowed so many hops. And the three hops is about the most that you're allowed nowadays. And you determine that when you set up your, repeater, when you set up your tracker, when you set up your mobile APRS unit to transmit, and you tell it how many you expect it to go. And it works really well. And so when it gets to that third digipeter, the digipeter says, oh, it's already been through two. I'm not going to send this one off. So it keeps the QRM down. It makes the system work. And so you want to, and if you want to have a discussion of that sometime, probably beyond this, the scope of this, but maybe when we meet in person at some point in a meeting or something, we can talk about the system, the paradigm they use to to cause the digipeters to only repeat two or three hops. Back to you, W6CYS.
Oh, great there, John. This is KF6Q, Tech Tuesday, and the group. Every Tuesday that we can. Well, anybody with any comments on that? That's a whole mouthful there on the digipeters, and I can understand the three hops of it, keeping it from spreading out there and going on and on, kind of like that echo chamber with, it just goes on and on and on and on and on. Very neat. I know that there's digipeters for digital radio. I'm not sure if it's the same one or a different one or the same device to set up on a different frequency, which is what I'm thinking there. Any other comments or questions, please come back.
DLT.
DLT, John. Yes, go ahead.
Okay. On these hops, you had mentioned about, you know, setting it up. Is it like look for particular stations, look for particular IDs?
Yeah, John, I'm not sure. I'm going to say that I'm going to hand it back to the other John, CYS. They must have some kind of time code on there or area designator to something to actually set the limits on that. John, is there? Are you really in depth on that yet?
And the nomenclature will be wide, WIDE, wide 1-1, comma wide hyphen 2-1. But generally, be how mobile units are expected and requested to set it up. That gives you basically your two or three hops.
Okay. Okay, John, I think you and I doubled as I was grabbing that from TLT and handing it over to you. Please go ahead with that one more time.
Okay, yeah, so what you were looking at was if you want to go to a specific digipeater or a specific station, what I'm talking about is called an alias, and you would set it up, the alias, to go to, and the nomenclature is WIDE, as in WIDE, WIDE 1-1, comma, WIDE 2-1. That would be how, that's how mobile units are expected to be set up, and that will give you either two or three hops. Are you okay there?
Thank you. KE6CLT.
Well, glad that you understand that. I'm a little confused in that, but that's okay. I'll sort it out. John, it's actually set up in the transmitter itself, not the repeater?
Correct. You transmit that, and then what happens is each time it goes to a digipeater, that 2 becomes one less number. And when it gets down to 0, the digipeater says, oops, it's got 0, I can't send that. But what I wish you'd do is probably wait for this part until we get to maybe a face-to-face meeting, maybe a Tech Tuesday or something, and a chalkboard. I think that would help a lot. Back to you, W6CUAS.
Well, very cool. And that's like I said, there's a lot to it. We're like what we do here on Tech Tuesday. We can never go into all the fine details, but we try to cover our bases here. And I think we've actually covered a lot of information this evening. And as we are here once again, it's almost 8 o'clock, about 7:50 coming up. Well, John, I appreciate that for what you're doing. And, you know, it's all great stuff. A lot of other people out there, listeners, have probably never heard about this, and there's a lot of you out there that have heard about it and are currently using that. So we will dabble again on that, on APRS, and some of the information. Possibly, maybe next week we'll get some of the different devices out there and some price ranges, so if anybody out there is interested. Like I said, essentially, you can have a good, great APRS system without even touching, like Chip was doing there. Chip, you can leave your radio for what it's designed for and actually pick up what I was seeing there on the Bionic site for a very small amount of change, below $100, still money, but, you know, depending, and a lot below $100, depending on what you wanted to set up as. So, with that said, a lot of these are used for tracking balloons, I see, so pretty cool. Well, anyway, John, CYS, I'm going to send it out there for questions, and let's see if we have any other comments or questions out there. Pretty close to Tuesday, and the group. Please come back to KF6Q.
Do you repeat the W6POO for ID? Could you repeat that website location for buying that extra software or hardware for setting up a transmitter of the packets?
Yeah, I think the best thing to do, Chip, is go to bionics.com, and they have a sub-area of TinyTrack. A lot of products there. This is one, actually probably the most popular. I'm sure there's others out there. Bionics with a BYONICS.com, bionics.com. And it'll probably get you a lot of information right there, and probably the most that you're going to need. Does that help?
I got that. Thanks much, W6POO.
Thanks, Chip. Anybody else, any questions or comments before we get ready to close the net?
GYS?
Yes, John.
Before you go, give him that website you talked about early on, the Bob Ferrunga website. He's kind of the grandfather of APRS, and it's really good. The one you were reading from early on in this thing. And also, I'd like to spend just a couple of minutes talking about Open APRS, if I could.
Okay. The other website is APRS.net. Is that the one we're talking about?
be the ones.
There you go, APRS.net, which we'll list it as automatic positioning reporting system. I like that site. Anyway, okay, yes, go ahead, John. We still have time. Not a problem.
Hey, Open APRS is an app you can get for your iPhone, for your tablet, for your Android device, and it allows you to get into the system without even a ham license. And so, in fact, some of the people out there on this weekend desert exercise over the weekend had them, and they work really well with one small problem. If you don't have cell phone service, they don't work at all. So they only work sporadically out there, but they do work, and they will get you in. So Open APRS, and it's an app. You can get the app from, I don't know where you get, I don't know any much more about it, but I just give you the name and then you can track it down. But it'll work on your phone or on your tablet. And it's kind of fascinating and gives you a chance to play with this without even spending any money for equipment at all. Back to you, W6COS.
Oh, very cool. And of course, the reason they can do that without a ham license is they're not transmitting over the air. They're actually transmitting over the digital link through your cell phone service, and of course, like you say, is limited by the coverage of that. Not as cool as being a ham, where we can actually have more power. More power! That is cool. So, anyway, but that allows, it's a good way to allow people without a license to actually set that up. And with that said, pretty neat. And they get right on there, and they'll show up, John, I take it, they'll show right up there on the APRS.fi also, or is that not going to show up on that website, you think?
Set it up properly, it's right there. There it is, it's right in front of you. It also comes in, actually ends up coming in, and I don't know how they do this, but it comes in over radio waves, but not from you, from a digipeater somewhere, which is licensed. So, because I was getting them, I was getting packets from them, you're right, it does not come in over the radio waves. It only comes in over the internet. Yes, you are, I am correct. I am having a little brain fatigue there. Anyway, yeah, it does come in only over the internet, so you have to have an internet connection to see them. And on your map, on your screen, on APRS.fi, and they have to have an internet connection. I mean, not internet. They have to have a cell phone connection. Okay, I'm all right. But you have to have a cell phone connection for them to be able to broadcast. Hopefully that made some sense. W6COS.
Yeah, I think it did. Anyway, so it's a lot similar too, but not the same as Echolink. Echolink now, of course, you still, to get in the Echolink system, you have to have your ID codes and passwords and all that. And to get those, of course, you have to have a ham license and proof of that. So, because actually at the other end, it does go out over the airwaves. So, whereas basically with that iPhone or whatever Android app, with that said, simply transmitting on the internet only. So, through basically your basic cell phone digital coverage. So, very cool. All right. We're going to get close here to closing the net. And any other questions or comments before we do, please come back. Not hearing anything out there, I want to thank everybody for joining in and sticking with us. We will probably do the Cube satellite stuff next week. I think Clint got a little tied up with the State of the Union. He actually emailed me he was going to be on tonight, so we'll give him a break on that. Probably being here next week. Like I said, Mike, WB6CLZ, probably won't be with us for quite a while. He's on adventures. The happy wanderer, we'll call him. And good for him. Really glad he can do that. So, but that's fine. We've got all of us out here, and we'll talk up a storm, find some new stuff. Also, next week we'll have, hopefully by then, the new QST will be out. I don't even think we even covered much out of the January QST, so February is coming down the road here. All right, thanks again for everybody for joining us. and hopefully we'll hear you out there next Tuesday. So, QST, 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 this is Tom Fry, KO6Q Net Control for the Tech Tuesday Net. We'll be closing the net this evening at 1900 hours and 56 minutes. Returning the repeater back to normal use. Everybody out there, have a great, safe week.